2 feet off the ground was originally the drawing showed it being at grade with concrete footings. This would have wood piers sticking out of the ground, raising it above the ground. We'd have a couple steps reaching up to it, and then there'd be a winch pulling the gangway up off-season and during storms. DTS has agreed to do that. We've also agreed to have some backups in-house, including the Harbor Master's office, just as a precautionary measure. There'll be a railing at the top of the dune before people go over onto the gangway. There'll be sand placed over, sand nourishment placed over the core bags. The gangway reaches over that and then has a small anchor that holds it in place, but it basically reaches over that core bag area and the sand slope. The plan view, which is this drawing right here, just meant to illustrate what we're trying to do with funneling the pedestrians through the walkway only and rather than going over the dunes. So you'll come from the path, the right-of-way at the bottom of the page. They'll walk across the boardwalk, and then they'll come down the ramp, the gangway, to the beach. So what you'll see is that there's a raised boardwalk here. We'll do some dune plantings, particularly towards the edge of the slope. The existing core bags will be underneath, additional sand placed along this location here, same as the beach nourishment project that we started last year. Additional dune grasses will be placed in that area, as well as fencing, funneling people from the beach side and from the land side onto the walkway and basically making a cone so that they can only get on that way. And that way they're not driving on private property and they're not traversing across the dune plantings. One of the concerns that we have with 57th Street, and it was discussed at the last meeting, but one of the concerns we have about that one is we'd have to take out a 6 to 8 foot swath of dune grasses in order to put the walkway straight on the right-of-way that we actually have legally. So that's 57th Street. 55th Street is a straight shot, very similar to 55th in terms of where we're reaching on the beach and the grade changes. I believe 57th is actually, at this point, a little higher of a grade change. 53rd is not quite as convenient or straight either. There's still some dune grasses there that present a bit of an issue, so we're trying to minimize the impact of dune grasses and the stabilization of the dune and the habitat that it provides. So 55th Street is a straight shot. It's the widest access that we have there right now. It's already disturbed, so we prefer to do something in there that's already disturbed and it's frequently used by residents. If we put it in another location that requires disturbance and residents are less inclined to use, they're more inclined to, you know, travel over the dunes. So we're trying to prevent that from happening. So there'll be a sand ramp essentially underneath there. At the other locations, aside from 55th, there'll be the sand ramp. The Moby mat will be placed over it, anchored at the top and the bottom. Again, even though we'll have sand placed over the core bags, it won't be anchored on that portion. There'll be a top and bottom, and Moby mats again could be pulled up if need be at the end of the season, of course, but also, you know, during events, storms and so forth. They're pretty easy to roll up. So the gangway essentially just cranks up with a winch. Those are the plans that illustrate what we're proposing to do. This is a minor modification of the original order conditions issued for the beach management plan, which had called out all of these streets as points of public access to be maintained. The public access was one of the higher priority recommendations, as was called out in the beach management committee request to CPC last year for funds. CPC provided funds for the project. Indicated that we couldn't use the money for sand, of course, which is not meant to be stabilization of the dunes, but to provide public access for the recreational component and open space access. The application from the Beach Management Committee, the former chair of the Beach Management Committee, Mary Riley, had submitted in the letter to the CPC an indication that this was a minor modification of the order conditions for the Beach Management Committee project, and that they were working on it at the time. This is back last year. It had been sitting there for a while. We're trying to get them back on track by getting the access in there. You know, now that the core bag work is essentially finished there, and with the residents having put up some money for additional sand to be placed, we feel that now is the time to get that done. We don't feel comfortable that we have enough money or that it's a good idea to put in all the access points at this point. Frankly, we don't have enough money to do all of them right now. we'd like to, in the future, make sure that this one is working properly and then go forward from there. But we'd like to do a test run of this first, make sure everything's working as planned, and minimize the impacts. The sand MobiMat ramp access will make sure that things are safe for pedestrians accessing the other points, but won't require any construction in those locations, one, which we don't have the funds for, and two, we want to make sure that the design that we've employed is working effectively.
So, what you're proposing is just doing the MobiMat things and not constructing the gangway, is that?
The gangway only at 55th Street. The rest of the locations would have a MobiMat only over sand.
But that, all three of those would be done this year?
Correct. Essentially. In the future, we'd like to have other access points done the same way, but we want to make sure that this is working properly, and right now we don't have enough funds to do two of them. There's additional costs that the estimate for the gangway construction does not include things like the dune nourishment, the plantings, the fencing, and so forth, which we do need to do as part of this project to make sure people are funneled and that the dunes are better preserved at the edges of that walkway. So those are additional costs that were not part of the estimate we got from the contractors. We need to make sure that's accounted for.
How much was that estimate?
The just under $20,000 for the gangway boardwalk installation.
The other stuff.
The other stuff is like $5,000 to $10,000 worth of work. We have $45,000 available from CPC.
Do you have a quote?
From, yep.
Would the MobiMat installations also have fence guiding them to them? Or would they... The MobiMats.
Yep.
Would they have fencing guiding people to them?
Yes, the MobiMats as well will have fencing around them because even though there isn't a boardwalk or gangway there, we still want to make sure that people are only traveling on the MobiMat on the center of that ramp area. So yeah, they'll be fencing at all locations, irrespective of the walk area.
So they'll be fencing along the landward part of the MobiMats?
Right, the landward side and the beach side. So that, not that we expect anybody from the beach side to try to, traverse up a steep slope, but at the same time, there's going to be sand, off at an angle there, so that people might try to go up the sides. We'd like to make sure that they're funneled only on that.
What kind of fence?
You've got the wood slats with the connection. I mean, basically, we're going to do that everywhere around that area.
Now, on this picture here.
Yeah.
You have this box up here that says sand ramp with MobiMat, et cetera. You have an arrow going to 53rd Street and 57th Street.
Yeah.
And a third arrow going somewhere else. Where's that?
I'm sorry. So 53rd Street is called out, 57th Street is called out, and then the third one goes to 61st Street. 61st Street is pretty level right now. There is a point as you get to the edge of that dune right there, or crest a bit, but it's not very steep at all. So having a MobiMat there is really fine. It's really the safest point of access we have right now.
So what you're requesting is for 4th Street. I'm sorry, it is 61st Street.
Yeah, well, I mean, just to be clear, as far as procedural issues, I'm not sure that this really requires, the MobiMats, I don't think requires, an approval per se from the commission, because that's already been done under the beach management plan. The sand is actually authorized already under the dune nourishment project, and I'm not sure that really requires an approval, but the gangway boardwalk design wasn't called out specifically in the plan. It was assumed at the time that there'd be stairways, which isn't possible, I think, for the core bags there, but I also think long-term it's probably not a good idea to do that because it doesn't allow the adjustment for grades that might happen if you put essentially legs in for those. So we'd like to make sure we can adjust with that, and the gangway allows us to do that because it'll adjust to the slope.
What's happening at Grant Street, at the end of Grant Street?
So we're not proposing anything at the end of Grant Street right now. There is an informal access there right now. The beach management plan suggests that we minimize those extra points of access that are not focused on the public ways. So that are commonly used and on the public ways. So,
but it's being used, right?
It's being used right now, not as frequently. The beach management plan essentially recommends that we use 61st, 57th, 55th, and 53rd. I'm not sure if the commission has a desire to do a similar installation there as well, but we're trying to. One of the recommendations of the beach management plan is to try to minimize the extra points of access, if you will. So we could certainly put it in there.
Considering what's happened at the beach in the cold weather, I mean, you know, we're walking fine lines here, but sorry for the pun.
So you'd like to see the access of Grant Street as well, is it?
No, I mean, we just need to preserve the beach. Everyone's clamoring for access, but in the wintertime, they're going to be clamoring for their home. So we just want to make sure that it's as protected as possible. I haven't been out there to see the access at Grant lately.
Yeah.
But before the green heads come out, I think I'm going to go out there.
Yeah. And it's basically on that slope there. It's not maybe quite as steep as 57th, 55th, but it's still a slope there.
Because it is in that area, that nourishment area.
Right, it is, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So we're going to leave that branch to be one off the table?
Yeah, at present time, we're not, the Beach Management Committee isn't recommending that would be done right now.
Right.
So it's just not part of the deal.
And no sand will be applied there.
Well, if there isn't extra sand, we'll place extra sand there if we have extra sand, but it's not as high a priority as the ones where we know there's going to be public access. We're certainly going to try to fence whatever we can. If there's enough sand, we'll place it there as well. But that all comes down to the quantity available. So.
Since we didn't meet last Tuesday, I took the opportunity to go out to Plymouth Island, and I haven't been out there for a while. And I did notice that some of the core bags have an additional layer of material over them.
Sand?
No.
Plantings?
No. Fabric.
Okay.
But in front of Tim's house, that did not happen. So I'm just curious about that.
Maybe Tim could better answer that since it's a project not done by the city. But
we got everybody else was able to put a overlap on their bags. By March 31st, we just ran out of time.
Okay.
So we were planning on doing that in the fall.
And that would have been one extra layer on top? Is that? Yeah.
It wasn't a sandbag. I think
it was just
material.
Just layer.
Yeah.
What that does is that ties everything together. It makes a smooth transition for the wave to run out.
So how would a Moby mat over the core bags in front of on 53rd Street affect them without having that additional layer?
As far as stability? Well,
yeah.
I mean, if the sand is placed over it, then it's the same quality of stability. If there wasn't any sand there, we wouldn't be recommending the Moby mats over the core bags directly. We don't feel comfortable that's appropriate. That's why we essentially, as the Beach Management Committee said to the residents that were there even more at the meeting we had a week or two ago, and they were very concerned about the public access, and they explained that we don't feel comfortable having the Moby mats over the core bags. If we don't have enough money to do the boardwalk, gangway access is everywhere, then we're not comfortable that it's an appropriate way to do it either, to do them all at once either. That we'd have to put sand at the other locations of Moby mats as we did last summer for the time that we could. When they got too steep, we closed them off. But, if the sand is placed over it and the Moby mats are over that, it's essentially the same as walking on sand. If it starts to settle out again, we may be in a situation where the city has to close it down again. And we made that clear to the Beach Management Committee last time as well, that if it becomes too steep or the core bags are again exposed, we may just have to close it down again, just for public safety. But that'll be a call that will be made by the mayor and the Beach Management Committee at that time.
So,
if I could just jump in for a moment. If the committee does approve and its proposal to put sand over, we would like to be able to go in and put that overwrap over ours before the sand, because once the sand is on, we'll never be able to get back to that point until winter waves come in and wash all that sand out. So we'd just like to be able to go in and put that over.
And just to be clear, as far as the permits, because Mr. Tracy had sent an email earlier today asking for the possibility of including that in this discussion, as far as permits, those should be somewhat separate. I guess the city's permit for the Beach Management Committee wouldn't include extra core bag work or that sort of thing. That would be under the permit that's already in place. There's been a continuance of that matter to the 19th of July, so that should be taken up from that one. It's certainly relevant, in terms of trying to figure out what's the best way of doing everything, but it's not something that the city would come under the city's permit from the Beach Management Committee, because we're not doing the core bag work. We're only doing sand, Moby mats, and the gangway walkway.
That's true, but we don't have an order of conditions for the core bag shop. And this is maintenance of the core bags. Putting sand over it, it's maintenance.
The sand is being done from the city, from the Durham Nourishment
I understand that.
Project and the Beach Management Committee project, and it's not for...
But it is for that. It is to protect... Over 53rd Street, it is to protect the core bags.
It's actually not to protect the bags, though. It's to provide public access. The only way we can provide the public access... Well, the fact is that the state requires those bags to be continuous even across the public way because mm-hmm. they can't have any breaks in them. So the sand is not to protect the bags. The sand, which is, again, being provided by the residents, not the city, is actually to provide the public access. It's just the only way we can do that by placing sand is to put it over the core bags. If there were no core bags there, we would still have to place sand in that location. So it's not to protect the bags. We still have to place sand there. In fact, we now have to place less sand because there are core bags there. So it's not really to protect the bags. It's just to create the grade that we need without an actual ramp or gangway of some kind. Requires us to put sand there because it's the only other alternative that's appropriate.
Well, it's a chicken and egg thing for me. It is essentially maintenance of that bag.
I mean, I don't look at it. I mean, if the core bags weren't there, we'd have to place sand anyways.
Right.
So.
Okay.
City's responsibility to maintain those access ways, correct?
It's the owner's responsibility to maintain those bags. We are too, but
it's. The city can open those right away, the city can close them down anytime they want.
I guess they can.
I guess another issue here is that we're also proposing construction in the sand dunes in a pipe and flow area where there's no construction allowed from March 1st to
sure.
March 31st or whatever.
Sure, and just to clarify,
do
as far as the work.
We have permission from DEP to do this.
Right. As far as the work that's involved, we've discussed that. We're not going to have any vehicles on the beach. So what's going to have to happen here is the boardwalk gangway is going to have to be constructed from the top of the dune area, basically where that walkway is on 55th only. It would be rolled out from there rather than having any construction vehicles, any people down there doing any kind of construction work, any digging, et cetera. Sand is going to have to be placed by putting it over the edge there and having people manually roll it back and forth with hand tools, essentially. It's the only way that we can do that because we can't have any vehicles on the beach whatsoever. They're even having problems with ATVs even though it's a public safety issue. They're not comfortable with the lifeguards having ATVs going across. They're trying to minimize that, essentially, because of the tire tracks and the chicks getting caught in them, that sort of thing. There's only one nest right now that's up at the point, but they just want to make sure that there aren't any ATVs on the beach. So
the restricted construction zone only goes to, like, high tide line at the bottom of the dune, or?
Well, I mean, the beach area is included in that, but we're not proposing any construction vehicles. That's their concern. The concern is that there's any heavy equipment moving around in the area that can jeopardize the chicks, essentially. Right now, the pair that are up there that have nested, they've hatched, and they have about 30 days to learn how to fly. So. There aren't any nesting in this area right now, but they want to make sure that there's a potential for them to. So we're going to not have any vehicles essentially going on the beach, even though that would be easier for us.
Does the gangway, when it's fully extended, extend down to the high tide line? I guess my question is, would the waves be coming up and hitting the bottom of that under normal conditions?
Not under normal conditions, no. During a heavy storm, anything's possible. And again, that's supposed to be pulled up during the storms. And I know we have, there were some questions raised about that last time. We've got an agreement from DPS and the Harbor Master to take care of that. But it's still above the high tide line from the maps that Vine Associates have prepared for our dune nourishment project.
So who is going to make the decision and when as to when that gangway gets pulled up? And I guess my concern is if it gets left out there and it gets broken loose.
Yep.
Starts tearing apart these core bags.
Yep.
The city's liable for repairing them.
Right. No, I understand that.
The city's record of doing anything is not great.
Right, I understand.
So
I understand. And then we've had that discussion with DPS, and we've had a discussion with the Harbor Master as well. DPS has agreed to do this. I wasn't here at some of these prior performance issues, I guess. But they've agreed to do that. I believe that they mean that. It's also possible, we're also trying to get a an option in there for some of the residents to have access to the key that would allow them to roll it up so that they can do that as well if they want to during those emergencies. But basically, during storm events and any time off-season, it's rolled up, locked down, and doesn't go anywhere. It's on the boardwalk itself.
So let's say after the 1st of November until the 1st of April, it would be up and there would be no access using this? When there's likely to be a winter storm?
When there's likely to be a winter storm, yes, they'll be up. And people will have to go to the alternative access point, like 61st Street, which doesn't have a boardwalk, or it's just a sand access, essentially. We can cross that bridge if we get to it, but right now we're proposing to keep it up anytime off-season and anytime during a storm event, just for the very reasons you raised.
I'm just concerned about, there's a storm that comes in, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, A, who's going to notice that it needs to be taken up, and who are you going to call at DPS at that time of night?
Right. Well, and again, I think it's based on forecast too. So there's an assumption here that even if it may not happen, if it's in any way likely to happen, it has to be pulled up before, nighttime essentially.
Who's going
to
make that call?
Planning office, DPS, or Harbor Master in a conversation. So anytime there's an issue out there, we have that discussion and it's rolled up if there's any concern about it.
Mm-hmm.
Sketch of the gangway, this anchor at the end of it.
Yeah.
How survivable is that in a storm? Say someone forgets.
The gangway itself, you mean?
Yeah. What is that anchor?
What is
how
anchor
deep
now?
Is it?
The anchor is, it's not going to be very deep. It's like a couple of feet deep. It's not going to be too deep. So, probably what's most likely to happen, if there is a heavy storm event, it really does move the gangway. The cord itself is probably most likely to nip out of that.
The bridge.
There's a cord, there's a chain essentially between mm-hmm. the anchor and the base of the gangway itself where the wheel is. That's probably the most likely thing to snap. Part of the reason we're anchoring is so it's anchored at top and bottom so that it has more stability.
Right, but I'm just wondering if the anchor should be deeper or stronger so that if there is a storm comes up,
yep.
And it's more likely that if there is some beach erosion, the anchor will still maintain the gangway in the right place.
Okay. Yeah, we can talk to the contractor about beefing that up a bit in terms of its weight, let's say, below grade. We were trying to minimize, essentially try to avoid having something that was like a concrete footing, let's say, block, let's say, a structure of some kind, but we certainly could beef it up a bit. I think in here they're relying on essentially surface area, pulling against the sand to provide some stability, but we could ask them to add some further weight or surface area to that.
Keeping in mind someone's going to have to go down there and take that anchor out and be able to winch it up in the middle of a storm, perhaps. So.
Or they can just untie it.
Will it just untie?
just another curiosity question. This cable that is shown on the drawing, is there one on each side of the boardwalk, or is there one down the middle and it gets disconnected?
Yeah. Right now, we're assuming that there's going to be one. However, we did talk to them about, preference essentially for stability and ease of operation to have it set up as two, so that you have one side that you have to operate on, but
right.
Essentially the gear or spoke, goes through to both sides, so that it's going to be easier to pull up that way. So that's what we're that's the adjustment that we're looking for.
This gangway, I guess I'm curious how you get it out there, because the winch will pull it back in, but it's not going to push it out. How do you get it out there?
The way they're setting it up, the weight itself is going to, you can basically, as you're letting it go, you can kind of slide it along, and then after that, the weight, as it goes towards the end there, the weight is going to help it to tip out.
Okay, so So these wheels, in theory, are not going to be crossing the core bags. They'll be up in the air at that point?
Right. The wheel would be up in the air, and as it gets down closer to the sand, it's going to be over the sand slope that's there. So it's not actually riding on the sand. It's actually, as it gets to the midpoint of that walkway, midpoint of the gangway, I should say, when it reaches that half point there, that's when it starts to really tip and go down towards the sand.
So once this ramp hits the sand, that's it? It's fully extended, or do you have to somehow push and get it fully extended?
I mean, it would be a couple of feet of rolling, essentially, but not very far, like a foot or two. It's not going to be extended.
Yeah, that's soft sand. You're going to sink right into it with this thing. It's not going to be easy to push.
Yeah, but again, remember that the winch is actually holding a good amount of the weight from the other end, too. So it's not like all the weight is on the wheel, let's say.
If that wheel's touching the ground, there's a whole bunch of weight on it.
Right, mm-hmm. But the chain is pulling some of that, too, and the top of the gangway is resting on the top of the walkway. So it's not all the weight is on the wheel.
That's not really a matter for the Conservation Commission, too, but I'm just thinking whoever the poor sucker is pushing it out there. Either that, or you got to get somebody down there pulling, because those wheels are going to sink into the sand. Just saying.
Well, we'll talk to Desire about it. They didn't seem to think it was an issue. We'll see. And we'll talk further with them about that.
Sort of outside of our purview.
City's got.
So with regards to the piping plover stuff, construction, that is only has to do with vehicles?
That's my understanding of the issues. I was going to have a conversation with the folks from U.S. Fish and National and Wildlife about the timing of the work that the crew is going to have to do out there, because we can't have any vehicles. Their major concerns at this point have been vehicles going back and forth, dogs, etc. So we're basically trying to minimize that, but we'll have to have a conversation with them before we do the installation of the gangway.
Yeah, I'd like to see something from them, a response regarding this.
Yep.
Now, this the order conditions for the original filing, 18-9, did that have words in there about time of work?
It did, no.
It did.
The order conditions was issued at that time, didn't have any timing constraints on it.
Oh.
We'll still do a follow-up with them, of course. But.
I'm expecting they're going to need something to drive those piles for the boardwalk.
Oh, yeah, I mean, just to be clear, their concern is on the beach side, so I don't expect that to be an issue at all. We'll talk about that with them. I don't see that as being an issue at all, because that's not even on the beach side. The birds are essentially nesting on the beach side. So.
Well, like I said, I'd like to see something from them.
Yep. The order conditions actually... standard set of conditions were placed on the standard state and commission conditions were placed on that. There's even reference to stormwater control, which really is most of the work in there. And there wasn't any set of special conditions that were placed on that project.
Does anybody else have issues with the water conditions not being finished for the core bags?
Well, from my point of view, is what they want to have accepted as a minor modification is on 55th Street, instead of building the stairway that we said was okay, they're going to use a gangway. And then on 53rd, 57th, and 61st, they would like us to say that using those mobile mats temporarily or it's, it'll have no adverse impact, because everything could have an adverse impact, but you have to weigh between the public access and the gating system. And, you know, I think if you limit it to that, and that's all we're saying, that's all right. When it gets to the issues of 53rd Street in particular, the city's still got to work with those people. It's not our job to, to work that, you know, your own particular issues. I mean, if you want to do something on 53rd Street, yeah, you would have to ask us what you want to do. But all this would be saying is, if everything else is in agreement, it's okay with us to put one of those, what do you call it, mobile mats.
Technically, there's not any, but I will let you ask.
This is a
picture
where I think it's quite good.
Andy, the wooden fence that will be used to guide everybody down the path, how's that going to be adhered to the sand?
Well, it's only,
you only take the 6 foot, 8 foot poles and drive them in 4 feet. And if we do that, we're going to be impaling the wiring loops.
Yeah, we're not going to be going through the bags, so anything we use is only going to be as deep as the sand.
Say that again?
Anything we use is only going to be as deep as the sand. We're not going to be able to go down 6 feet, you know, the post to go. We can't go down that far. So it won't be as stable as, say, one of the fences that's been placed out there, you know, between some of the properties on 55th, but it'll be, you know, stable enough for the season anyway.
May I make an observation? If we take a stake on the top, stake on the bottom, and bring up a 3/8 half inch rope, and then take the take a very lightweight plastic construction fence and lace it in there.
Okay.
Weight wise, it would be very little.
Yep.
We'll accomplish the same thing.
Yep.
There'll be no endangerment of punching the bags.
Yep. No, we can do that as well. That's that's easily done.
Yeah,
that would make sense.
Yeah, I like that option. That's easy enough to do.
No, I don't know from a plastic standpoint, but being that it's just going to be rolled up, I think it'd be fine.
I mean, provided it's temporary, I don't think it should make a difference. I don't know if the Conservation Commission has a concern about it, but that would be fine from my perspective.
We just have to be sure it's the kind of plastic, if it gets loose, it doesn't get around the necks of any wildlife.
Birds and so forth.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like it doesn't act like the six-pack holder.
Yeah.
That would be lovely if
we
had that problem.
We can check and see if we can find something with larger slats, let's say, maybe even a biodegradable material of some kind. I don't know if they have that. But.
Now, during the public hearings, we have an item for 53rd Street. We have Mr. Tracy's. And what the only thing that bothers me relative to the beach access is that the letter from Fisheries and Wildlife pretty much puts a hold on construction. We're waiting for their response back to Mr. Tracy and the commission. And we're not allowed to do much of anything on the core bags, but Mr. Tracy was suggesting to put that extra biodegradable fabric over there and stitch it in with the other neighbors' layers before any of this occurred. And I don't know if that would be a good move to do any extra construction until we hear from Fisheries and Wildlife. We still have an incomplete NOI out there.
On which project? On the core bags.
Yeah,
right. But yeah, and I guess
the agenda. Yeah.
Yeah, and all the Beach Management Committee is asking is that, rather than hold up the access issue, which is, you know, the residents out there have been waiting quite a while, hasn't been done, you know, they're just asking not to be held up on the access issue if there is some outstanding permit. I know the Conservation Commission has expressed some concern, Mr. Fisher, aware of it, the concern about giving extensions on the notice of intent side of it. You're waiting for Fish and Wildlife to give some feedback to you, but there's been extensions that have been granted. I guess the residents are also concerned that they not be held up, you know, for that aspect of it, you know.
Yep.
We're not sure that permitting is essentially for work that's already been done. The question whether there should be other bags isn't part of the city's or the Beach Management Committee's application.
No, it's any fortification over the existing bags, which is what was suggested just before during the discussion, that another layer of geotex fabric we put over the core bags before the access on 53rd Street is completed. I have a little bit of issue with what's happening at 53rd Street. Mm-hmm. Because of this.
Because it's outstanding, is it?
Yeah, it's been outstanding for a long time, and it's we've got to take some action as the commission. We have to take some action tonight.
Yeah, and then the Beach Management Committee understands that, of course. City understands that. We're just concerned that the access not be held up indefinitely because of that.
I agree.
We're just trying to balance those issues. We do agree that there's a notice of intent that's needs to be finalized, but
which we could give the minor modification for only 55th and 57th Street.
Right, that's what I'm thinking.
And wait on 53rd Street.
Mm-hmm.
Which is coming up at the July 19th meeting for its continuance. There was an update that was routed around today, without enough opportunity, I guess, for you to take a look at it, but that was scheduled to be discussed with the applicant at the 19th meeting, so one would hope that we could resolve those issues at that time. But.
Whatever that's what I'd like to say about that project,
thinking because it's outstanding.
Yeah, it's too interwoven.
We can't keep doing stuff just because we're just trying to keep up. I mean, we just got to get this one done. We got to get it done right. At 53rd Street, we've got to finish this permit and then move on. With the moment now, probably, if they're working out.
But this
minor modification, I think we would be in a position to vote on it for
55th and 7th.
57th and 61st. And in position also, obviously, to vote on the gangway at 55th Street.
Allison?
Can I have her speak?
Sure.
Kelsey Buck. I live on 53rd Street. At the last beach management meeting, it was presented that there was an opportunity to open up the accessway 53rd as well as 57th with sand and moving mats. It was explained to the residents that it was a temporary solution. It would likely only last a season because we understand how the storms work out there. I'm very close to Tim and Karen's house, and I have the utmost respect for the four homeowners, in particular who are Oceanside, who had to shell out thousands of dollars of their own money to protect their homes, but also protect the city's infrastructure. But I'm also representing approximately 30 homeowners who asked me to be kind of their spokesperson, who agreed to chip in money for the sand to open up those accessways. We're going to have a lot of angry residents if I go back to them and tell them now that 53rd won't be open. I understand it's a fine line. I feel in a really difficult position because I'm friends with Tim and Karen, but I also feel very strongly that we need to have the public access ways open, not just because I live on that street. This is impacting hundreds of residents.
Is it construed as applying sand? It's certainly, I think, putting another layer of, and I'm just talking about 53rd Street, putting another layer of the geotex fabric over there, I think would constitute construction. Applying sand, I'm not sure.
That's part of the maintenance.
It's part
that
of
would
the maintenance
be part of the maintenance
well. So,
order
yeah,
con- in the order conditions.
With 53rd Street, because we have this permit that's in process but not completed yet.
And I don't think we're saying it will be closed all summer. If we close this out at our meeting on July 19th.
It's not all summer. We're sure hoping. It's been going on for so long. It's been going on since the wintertime.
Hang on, Allison. Way in the back.
Isn't there some way to move this process forward? I mean, if it's been going on since wintertime,
can you state your name, please? State your name, please.
I'm sorry. My name is Patricia Fry. I live on Plum Island, and I am a director for PITA, and we are very much in favor of opening these rights of ways. I do not live in that area, but because I am connected with PITA, that is why I am here. What is the holdup with this permit? Why can't this move forward?
It's currently in natural heritage, and endangered species program. The applicants need to get them the information they need. We cannot approve an order of conditions until natural heritage has signed off on it, and they're in the process right now. We can't close it out.
That goes for all wetlands permits in the city.
But a very long process, obviously.
This one is.
This has been a very long process. Allison?
So if you have the majority of the residents, the Beach Management Committee and the mayor's office, who is 110% behind opening up 53rd and 57th a year and a half ago, what else do we need to do? I mean, this could linger, and I understand you saying it's the wildlife, but there was no discussion at the beach management meeting from the Tracys that this was a concern of theirs. So I'm wondering.
There was no what?
There was no, when we were at the beach management meeting, and there was how many residents there? 40, 50 residents there, maybe 30, 40. The Tracys were there. They didn't say, well, I don't have a problem with you guys putting sand down, but we have to finish our permit. So, I mean, this is news to us. This whole extra layer is just news to us, and it's frustrating because we've gathered all the money, we've gathered all the support, we've gathered the mayor's support, we've gathered everyone's support, and I just feel like...
When did Fish and Wildlife say that? They said
no,
it's okay to put sand
down? No, I'm saying we had a wonderful discussion at the beach management meeting with residents.
With residents, okay.
And the Tracys were there, and they didn't say anything about saying, oh, this is great, however, I just want to let you know, we have an unfinished permit. So this is why we're kind of frustrated that this is
that's
the 11th hour.
That's the fact. And it's not the 11th hour. We've had this on our agenda for many weeks, and our agendas are all posted online, as are the minutes.
Kim, you want to say something?
There.
Yes. Thank you, Joe. Pat, the ongoing process, we're all, the commission is more than likely really tired of moving to office and hearing about the fire envelopes and the hay bales and et cetera, et cetera. We would like nothing more than have the right way.
I understand.
The length of the process has been the hay bales went in, they failed. We got permits from fire envelopes. We had one of the worst winters we've had in a decade. The crew would work 2 days out of a 5-day week. Then they would work 3 days out of a 5-day week. We went back to the commission 3 times, 4 times, asking for extension on the permits. DEP came back, National Heritage came back. It's been a very lengthy process. For everybody. I don't know what else I can say other than it's just...
How did they get theirs done? You got yours done? You got your netting mesh, whatever it's called, geotextile. Do you have it on your...
No.
why we're willing to go along with 55th and 57th, because that is essentially complete.
It's, well, it's complete, but the other issue is that the walkway is going to go over it. We're not putting sand on it. We're not messing with the core bags at all, or we shouldn't be. We can't, basically. And 57th Street is beyond the core bags.
Correct.
So it's the unfinished core bags that are essentially going to be maintained at this point that we can't allow until we get an order of conditions done. With the other ones, you're not messing with them. Or you shouldn't be. You should be going over them or beyond them.
So, just help me understand. So, if we want to open up an access way besides 57th, which I understand is the easiest one because there's no core bags in front of it, I get that. Let's just say we don't want to do the walkway with 5th or 5th, we want to put the sand down there with the Moby Mat. You're saying we can't do it because of why? I just have to answer questions to the millions of residents that are going to be storing my house. So I'm trying to understand how this is working out. So there's no extra geotextile sheath only on 53rd, but there is one on 55th.
Correct.
So if we wanted to put sand down there and put a Moby Mat down there, that would be okay with you guys.
55th is
hypothetical.
No, it's still the core bags.
55th is...
This permit is for the entire length of core bags. It's for the whole length of the core bags. And since you're not putting anything...
I think that's the whole thing here.
We thought it was the whole length.
No, it's the whole thing. It's one entire permit for all of them.
It's not an issue because we're not touching it.
Right, I was confused. That's why I said you had hay. Someone's got it down, someone doesn't. There was just...
Mm-hmm.
I gotcha.
Do you have any idea when this permit will be completed? I mean, do you have any sort of timing frame?
We can give them another call tomorrow. We don't have a result right now. The most recent communication we got was April 14th, indicating that they needed more information. Additional information was sent to them by the applicant. The original notice of intent that we got, I believe, was back in December of 2010. But, you know, National Heritage didn't get they didn't get information until, I think, was it end of March? Is that right? I think it was in end of March, maybe. I mean, they haven't had the full length of time, I guess, to look at things the way that the commission has.
The beginning of June is when they got the last set of...
last set of information is June 7th.
Yeah. From the applicant.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about even the first communication, they didn't have the full length of time that the commission had. I mean, they've only had since, you know, end of March, maybe early April, to look at what was sent to them. I'm not saying that that's not also taking long, but it's they haven't had, you know, months to take a look at it either. And again, like you said, the most recent information has come in at the beginning of June, so.
Might I ask one more question?
Sure.
Is there a usual time frame for these permits? In other words, say you put out a permit and it takes a year to get it, or 6 months?
No, generally they're more rapid.
1 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, but we have some big projects that have taken...
Yeah, but I think maybe your question is there a time frame on natural heritage to respond?
Correct.
Yeah,
isn't that
usually 30 days?
Oh, I think
yeah,
we're there with their response.
But the last information they requested was sent beginning of June. So,
June,
you know, they usually come in on the last day of the 30 days, actually.
So
right.
July 7th is when we expect them to get back on this last bit of information that's provided to them.
Okay. Thank you.
So, anything else?
No.
yes.
If you get National Heritage to say what they, the information that they have, and they say, okay, is that it? Or are there other questions?
National Heritage is the last outstanding thing we need.
Keep in mind they may come back with more questions.
Yeah.
They have no control over that.
Yeah. Yes, they don't. You know. It depends what they got in their response. If that's right. Enough.
Your question is whether the commission has more questions. Is that
correct?
Well, I think after
we actually we can't even discuss that right now.
Yeah.
No, it's not part of this. That will occur later on in the agenda tonight.
And
that discussion
probably not all that long down the agenda because we have a lot of continuances.
Is that particular permit on the agenda for later on?
What is later on?
When we get through to the top of the agenda.
Yeah, we have at least two continuances, possibly three continuances, after one that should be relatively quick, so it isn't going to be very long.
How would you know
today? Good. Many of
you. Oh, have we then?
Yeah, they're going to be.
Continuous.
Yeah, so it should be a lot shorter than that. So do we motion?
Make a motion to approve a minor modification of the beach access for 55th and 57th Streets.
Or 61st.
And 61st.
As shown on these most recent.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Okay. Make a motion.
Motion to recess for public hearings.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, first one is Thomas Lytle, 6 Bain Lane, notice of intent.
I guess I'll just hold it up like this if that's okay. I don't have that one on the table. For official provisionary landscapes, Representative Lytle's and showing the original plan for the pool and patio layout on their property, if you remember from the site visit. That's the original layout. And then we had asked for an alternative of possibly turning it 180 degrees. This is.
Or 90.
Yeah, 90. You could just switch the diving board if you want.
I don't know if you have copies. I put them in.
This is
planning office. So that everyone has
two copies of the OC
as well.
One and then the 90.
They've labeled the difference between the two.
There's two drawings. One, there's one at one angle and then one at 90 degrees to that, which is what was discussed at the last meeting. So,
Do we all have copies of this?
No, these are the two that we have. There's a large set.
These are two different ones.
Well, we're asking for either one. The original, and then said if we wanted to turn it, to please draw it and then show the difference. And so that's what we did.
Oh.
And the big tree is where?
This is the green, is the big tree.
Yep.
And this is that rock,
yep.
The boulder,
yep.
Is right here. And then the difference between where the pool was to the tree, because that's what we were really doing yesterday, is the wall sits on top of just gravel.
But we determined that the roots of that tree wouldn't be affected because they're so much deeper. Look at the grade. Of
right, because it's like 8 feet higher than where the actual tree is now.
Yes.
Below.
Yeah.
Right.
So you would build over the boulder that's there?
Yeah, actually making it part of the wall.
Part of the wall.
Yeah, kind of. It'd be a cool feature.
Okay.
So your preferred pool orientation is the one that is the...
Yes, the Lytles would prefer to have it the 90-degree, the one you're looking at, correct. In on this angle, so there's less, but the, actually there's about 300, it's 282, I believe, extra square foot patio. Basically what we did is make it so you could walk around. Mm-hmm. There's a slight opening so the kids could get around on the side.
Is that patio concrete or is it porous concrete?
No, it's just going to be irregular bluestone flagstone, flagging set on 3/4 inch stone with stone dust.
Somewhat pervious.
Yes. All the joints, all the water will go right through. That's the whole point. Yeah.
Okay.
Make a motion to issue a order condition for.
We don't do that. Do we?
I can.
Okay.
You can always say no.
We've got to close the hearing. Right?
We've got this other.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot about
motion
that.
Motion to close.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Motion to close. Oh, before we close it, though, is there a designation we can use if we approve a plan so that we make sure we approve the right plan?
It says revised on here, on the bottom.
I don't believe they're labeled differently on the title block, but we can put a stamp on it and label the version.
Yeah,
because it doesn't say alternate one, alternate two, I don't think.
Okay.
But we can designate it on the file copy, and you'll have to make note in your file as well. Just
sure.
We'll keep that on record that this is the one that's been approved as opposed to the one that hasn't.
Because under here it didn't have anything under revisions because we didn't. It's just descriptions blank, and over here it says I'm.
Then why don't you initial and date this one to.
Mayor, thank you, sir.
You know that this is a flat record.
Anywhere, right down here?
Yes.
And today is the 28th.
Yeah.
Great.
Motion to close public hearing?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Next item is Bud Jarrett, 17 Graff Road. Do we?
It says here we'll continue to 19th.
Did we already do that?
No.
It wasn't continued, no.
It wasn't, okay.
Oh, requested.
The request came in, after it continues, but it wasn't voted yet.
Motion to continue 51864 until July 19th.
Second.
All in favor? All right. Michael Accredi, Port Associates, 46 Hale Street, notice of intent. Are you asking for a continuance?
Yeah, we sent that in on Friday.
Okay. Just thought I'd get it out of you.
Motion to continue until 7:05.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Okay. Mark Emmons, 9 Doe Run. I got a request from Kurt Young here to continue to out till the next meeting.
July 5th.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Second.
All right. Okay, enforcement violations. First one, 23 Phillips Drive. Wetlands restoration.
I can see if I can turn them up a little higher. There's a.
You could put Tom Hughes onto the bare light bulb.
Yeah. Put the seat right here. Okay, first, just to remind you guys what the place looks like, 23 Phillips, the sort of basic carpentry wall that was built.
A little better.
Much better.
That's better.
Along the edge, kind of at the old lawn interface, back filled in. There's a little bit of fill there. And then there's kind of a ditch in the back, and then this area of mostly stinging nettle that is kind of probably older filled wetland from back when the place was developed. It's just been overrun by little bits of phragmites and stuff like that. The homeowners tried to control. There's the perimeter drains that come out through a back retaining wall that come out. This is kind of just to get you familiar with the site again. And where we're at is we now have an existing conditions plan. And I dropped off at Town Hall a highlighted up copy, but what I thought I would do is actually highlighted up and kind of go over with you what each of these things are. And I just want to make sure that the overall concept that we're going forward with is something acceptable to the commission before we spend the time and go to the effort of actually engineering these things. So essentially, what we're looking at, there's also a couple details that need to be put on, like the discharges come out of the wall about here. There is running, all right, like that, a hand-dug ditch. I don't know if you remember that. That was sort of at the very back. It's like a very small, like 6-inch wide ditch. I've got a picture.
Right, right.
It's
right.
Yeah, it's this right here.
Okay. Got to move it up.
Okay. So we're going to get that part corrected. There's a PVC pipe that just kind of goes out into the stream. What we're looking to do is, first of all, let's talk about this. We have the dimensions of the drive are shown on the existing conditions plan where they've always been. What we're looking to do is edge the drive. They do want to resurface that with gravel. You know, it's a dirt drive anyhow, so they just want to kind of freshen that up. The area from here over to the wall is all going to be vegetated. It's already been seeded. The grass is coming up, and it's actually starting to look vegetated. You can see at this point that they didn't really intend on expanding the driveway. It just kind of looked that way when they backfilled it. Looking at along, it's kind of scattered along here, putting in native shrubs, most likely smaller sort of inkberry, lowbush blueberry, things like that. Then we're looking on the wetland side of the wall, planting two or three native trees. I'll put three on here. Intermixed with some more native shrubs. And in the native shrubs on this side of the wall, we'd be looking to things like highbush blueberry, winterberry, things that would get some more size, maybe some dogwoods, things that, you know, we're going to kind of fill up. The idea is from over here, you'll kind of get the lower stuff that's raised up with the backing of a fairly dense shrub buffer along here. Back in here, we've got this water that currently feeds what would be a small isolated wetland area, except for the ditch that kind of starts to drain it to towards the stream. But the ditch kind of peters out about, I'd have to say, about 7 or 8 feet from the stream. And it, and the water is at that point just sort of infiltrating in and then probably ending up in the stream. What we're looking at doing is in that kind of area of the stinging nettle with the Phragmites that he tried to block off with some plastic or fabric years ago. We're basically looking at creating in that area a wetland to kind of connect up with that wetland and kind of do something like that so that the water coming out of the perimeter and foundation drains actually starts going into a very gentle swale that then sort of provides hydrology for this expanded wetland area. And then we would put a berm in the non-jurisdictional portion of that hand-dug ditch so that basically the water is no longer going to be direct route into the stream. It's just going to basically get cut off and then have an overtop feature, almost like a rain garden. So essentially we're going to do a wetland restoration, but it's going to function both as a wetland and as a rain garden for what is clean water. It's foundation water, so it's not going to be something that...
Will that area be dry in the dry conditions?
It may be dry in dry conditions, but no more so than a wetland would be dry in dry conditions. There's a very healthy stand of alders that's kind of all back there here. And if the alders are surviving so well, there's hydrology in the area. So the idea is to basically remove some of the material here, including the rootstock from the Phragmites, and kind of reestablish a little bit lower so that we can tap into that water a little bit better, and also, you know, bring the water from the foundation sort of in a more controlled manner into that system. So what we would end up with sort of as mitigation for what they did would be, you know, a wetland restoration area here. And then along here we do plantings. The other thing is the plan shows a toa slope for the fill area, which is sort of like this. And what we're looking to do is essentially... from that toa slope, grade back. First of all, remove the fill piles that are there. If you remember, there were some piles of dirt. That stuff would come out. What's left on the ground that had already been spread, essentially we would grade back to establish a more uniform slope and just vegetate that. And that would be most likely right up near the wetland area. We could put in some more shrubs, probably some winterberry or something to make a nice transition. And, you know, or possibly dogwood, and then that would transition to, like a native grassy, like a Pearl's Green.
What's going to be on that part that you pull back?
That would be the Pearl's Premium, which is a native grassy. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's got some really nice features. It's got a deep root system. You don't have to water it after it gets established. You don't need to use herbicide or anything like that. The only thing that happens when you first seed, you tend to get some broadleaf that comes in. So you may have to deal with that in the first year or two. Once it gets in densely, you really don't have to do much. It's
How do you deal with it?
Hand pulling is what I recommend to folks. But occasionally, you know, people will go out and get, you know, Roundup or whatever. Or whatever the broadleaf. Roundup's not the right one. It would be a broadleaf. Probably a Scots type thing they would put down.
That is that going to be along the driveway as well, next to above the wall?
Well, they've already seeded that, so I'm going to recommend they overseed with Pearl's Premium there.
Okay.
And because Pearl's Premium doesn't recommend if you have an existing lawn that you tear it out. Recommend is that you just start overseeding with Pearl's Premium, and it will kind of take over with time. But that's kind of the idea, is to, you know, leave the wall in place, put the vegetation in place, the trees to kind of make up for the trees that were removed, And the shrubs to kind of make a little bit denser and create sort of more of a valuable buffer there. And then in here, just to kind of make up for what the impact was there, and also to take care of a situation that, you know, was obviously altered when the house was built or at some point a while ago. I mean, there's no sign back there of recent disturbance, but it's just a wetland waiting to happen. So that's kind of the approach I'd like to go with, but I want to get your feedback. Make sure you guys are okay with that, or get in, you know, if you want us to go in a different direction or whatever, get what that is, and then we can get the plans revised probably within a week, and then I can get a filing. Will probably take me, you know, maybe another week to get all the narrative.
I'm good with it. I'd like to address some of the city's sins out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things that I didn't really talk about tonight, but
yeah, they're directing the street.
Right. There is there, and we picked this up. It's not showing on this plan, but there is a stone trench that was dug right next to the head wall that is taking the water directly from the street. Basically, it flows down this hill down to past where my truck was parked there that day, and right around the head wall and in. And I don't have any of my pictures of the stream bed itself, but there are places in the stream bed where there's clearly sand deposits that are not native material. You know, it's coarse enough. It's not anywhere near as bad as some of the other situations in town where, you know, storm catch basins weren't maintained often enough, but it clearly is a little bit of fill coming off of the city streets, which over a long enough period of time is not. You know, I don't think there's been any irreparable harm done to this system yet, but there's clearly some stuff going on. You know, if you look at the pictures of the stream itself, it's kind of a nice little meandering stream. And one other really nice feature about this wetland area here is for the homeowners that live nearby, the culvert coming in is smaller than the culvert going out. So these guys don't get what just about everybody else in that whole neck of the woods gets every time you get the huge storms. This thing just cannot fill it up as fast as it can drain. And I bet you there's, you know, another 100 families of which they have that. So it's kind of its own flood control. And I could also get you the surveyor to attest to the fact that this stinging down wall through the area where I said it was because he went out in shorts.
Mm-hmm.
So, you guys okay with that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, what I suggest is, and if anything comes up, I can coordinate with Andy in between, and I would expect that we'd file. Well, July 5th is kind of close, but I'll try to get it filed that week of July 5th, by the end of the week, as long as, you know, DCI can get me the plans fast enough.
Sounds good.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. All right, next item, Tim Tracy, 28 53rd Street and multiple lots.
John, I'm not sure whether we closed out the public hearings.
No, we didn't.
Motion to close the public hearings.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. So you sent us something today. I did print out a copy. Steve has it. Mary has her copy. Did you get a copy printed out, Paul?
No, I read it.
You did go. So, Tim, did they notify you that they got the documents?
Actually, no. When I emailed them, I asked for a return receipt, and a lot of folks don't check that box.
Mm-hmm.
They did not the first time, and they do not this time.
Okay.
I will give them a call tomorrow, but if you don't promise, they can't respond.
You said that to them on June 1st?
June 7th.
Oh, June 7th.
That should be all they're looking for.
Okay.
I get the distinct impression people are not happy with us tonight. I'm not approving.
I mean, we've all lived the winter together. We've seen the storm, we've seen the extensions, we've seen the reasons why this is still going on. And we really appreciate your patience, and we really appreciate you allowing us to try this Corvette until I think this coming winter we'll be very thankful for it.
I hope you don't need it this coming winter.
Yeah. I agree, Joe.
When I was out there last Tuesday, there was one thing that I did notice on Doc and Lonnie's property. He has put some sand over the core bags and is walking down over them.
He is?
Yes. I've actually witnessed him doing that. He and I had a long conversation. And I guess that's kind of okay that he did that. My concern was he also has a piece of plywood at the bottom of it to hold that sand in place, which is not okay at all. So I'm not sure what we want to do about that. But, it's not a big piece of plywood. It's maybe 2x3 or smaller.
Can you explain that a little bit?
I don't know. Sadu does not ask or inform me what he's doing. We walk the beach, and
he also has a double layer of snow fence providing him with an exit from his property.
I get this so
I don't know.
If,
Andy, maybe you want to go out there and...
If you want to pass a letter to me, I'll pass a letter to him.
It may be more appropriate just do it directly, but we could. I mean, I don't know if you want to try to distinguish it as project or issues or issue another permit to all applicants to the original permit. I don't know how you want to. I mean, it's.
Or what?
That's been done by one property owner as opposed to all of them, so it seems like a separate matter that would be sent directly to Dr. Amani himself. But
yeah, and again, it's hard to say what you can tell him to do or not do. His property, yeah, the group of you got together and did this to protect everybody's property. But if he wants to go ahead now and destroy his property, I don't know.
That's up to him.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's really too bad because it all ties together.
Yeah.
Destroying his property could eventually destroy yours.
I'm very aware of that.
Yeah.
I'm very frustrated.
Yeah. So I'm not sure what angle.
Do you want a letter sent to him?
Such a strange situation.
Joe, if you feel following the chain of command would be appropriate, fine, send it to me and I'll send it to him. Andy, if you feel going directly to him is appropriate.
Whatever the will of the commissioners want to ask.
I mean, an informal discussion directly with him might be the first way to go.
Okay.
And see how that goes.
And we have a meeting next week, so I can have that conversation before then. Discuss at that point.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether the sand that he put over the core bag is okay or not, because there's supposed to be sand over it anyway. It's just all washed away or blown away.
Yeah, sand really doesn't stay there. But that small capacity doesn't stay there.
A piece of plywood, I'm pretty sure it doesn't belong there. I don't know about the double layer of snow fence.
Mm-hmm. What is this double layer of snow fence?
Well, I think it's... He's coming down from his house with the sand, and there's a piece of plywood at the bottom holding the sand in place. And then there's, I think, the original snow fence, and then another, like, 2 or 3 feet in front of that, which ends with an opening, so he can get from his property onto the beach without having to climb over the
snow. Oh, is that double layer a bad thing?
I don't think the double layer snow fence isn't necessarily bad because it's going to catch more
plywood. Maybe is an issue.
I guess it's basically the piece of plywood that I have an issue with.
Plywood seems like a tree.
You're not supposed to have anything solid out there.
But just speak with him prior to the next meeting, or if you will, a letter, and then we can discuss it at the next meeting, which is the next week.
Since these two are combined here, there is snow fence along the entire front of those core bags, right?
Correct, yes.
Not in front of the hay bales. Like there are posts there, but
There were, and they got washed away.
Okay.
It was one of those Sunday afternoon high tides that came in real quick and took it away.
So the question is, with regards to the beach access, how do you put in the ramp when there's no fence there? Are we going to take out that snow fence?
Where the walkway is? Well, there's no snow fencing where the walk where the public access is.
All along in front of those core bags is snow fence.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, but we're not. The right of way is ours. We can remove that. We're not going to take anything off of the sides. We're actually going to add perpendicular to that. But we're going to leave everything in front of Hamani's property, and that was in McCarthy's on the other side. And we're going to leave all that in place, and then we'll have ones that are perpendicular to that along or parallel to the walkway. We'll have to remove a segment of it where people walk through, essentially. But that, again, that's going to be on sand, you know, above sand.
Right, I'm just thinking that when you remove the rampway, there will now be a hole in that snow fence.
But if Andy runs the snow fence up,
yeah, people will be funneled.
Right.
It'll be connected essentially because people will be funneled through that walkway only. So those two fences will meet.
Well, the snow fence is more for catching sand, isn't it?
Right. Yeah.
So
that's its primary objective.
Right. So there won't be snow fence when that ramp comes up. There won't be any snow fence there. Won't be any snow fence there. Period.
At the boardwalk. Or
at the walkway.
But again, with 53rd, we had talked about
55th Street.
Yeah, we had talked about using a construction fencing that would essentially bridge rather than having any stakes even in the sand, would just bridge from a post to the top and a post to the bottom, which is what you had brought up earlier, so that there isn't anything even staked in the middle.
The funnel here on the beach for the gangway, right?
Right, and then going up to the top of the dune, essentially.
But over the core bags, it was going to be nothing staked in, but
right.
The plastic fence rolled out and stretched out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly,
across the surface.
Right, right.
Okay, I guess the only point I was trying to make is there's snow fencing all across here. There's a continuous line of snow fence. The rampway, unless it's over that snow fence, you'll have to cut it so that there'd be a gap in that this snow fence.
I see what you're saying.
So in the winter,
right,
there will be no snow fence.
When the ramp isn't there, there'll be this 4 or 5 foot gap in the snow fence.
Well, so in the winter, we'd have to. I see what you're saying.
And the way I've seen that remedied, Andy, is what we get a length of. In the winter, when
we're going to have to redo that.
We get a length of fence that overlaps both sides, so you have this
coverage. We're just going to have to put one in for the winter then to cover that.
And I believe that would be the city's responsibility.
The city's, because it's the right of way, yeah. So we'll do that then.
Anyway, back to your problems. Or our problems, which is your problems. We're just waiting for natural heritage, right?
Is that it?
That's it. Yeah.
Did you give them something they're going to be happy with?
I tried.
We tried.
Yeah. And then?
And then we have to... Do you expect it to be making any changes to your filing for notice of intent?
No.
But any maintenance work the maintenance work is included in the narrative, and we worked over the maintenance work, I think, pretty thoroughly. We included everything that we thought was necessary.
So if the permit is issued, again, because it's still outstanding, if the permit is issued, that would give a 3-year window for maintenance.
Right,
the applicant wanted to be on that, you'd have to ask for a continuance.
I'm just trying to see if we've got everything covered so that we don't drag this out anymore. Assuming that's what the attorney comes back and says.
And the extra layer of fabric going over the bags is included, is that correct?
Yes, that's a typical maintenance, what we conceived as a typical annual maintenance. To put a layer of wire on, put some sand over it, and we're good for a year. And that came from Netco as a good preventive maintenance to keep the longevity.
So then the beach access problem will hopefully be solved, the molding mats will be rolled out, and they'll be pinned in spots where floor beds are not.
Right.
Beforehand, it will be rolled out along the core bears on top,
mm-hmm.
and then it might be pinned at the beach end.
Exactly. If any of the sand,
okay.
You know, if the sand is getting washed away, we may have to close it down again until more sand becomes available.
Right.
We'll just have to close them down, and we'll have that, again, you know, concern from residents, but we're not going to keep it open. It's a public safety issue. So.
Right.
Yeah. Several years ago, before the city came in to close the path, I went down to Home Depot and got some plastic construction pins, and I think it was 2-inch by 2-inch.
Yep.
Just rolled it out, and it's very light, very easy to handle.
Yep.
I'm just really concerned about any stakes.
No, it works. It's fine. It works just as well for us. We just want to make sure people have a guide of the only places they can walk or on the walkway, so that works just as well as having a cell phone, so it's fine.
We've got 4 rental homes on 53rd, and they rent to families, and the youngsters come up, and as a youngster, I used to run up and down the dunes because it was entertaining.
Yeah,
jump off the dunes. Sure, it's fun. We're just looking to help guide those new families, those renters, into a canal, into a channel that is not going to let their youngsters get enthusiastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, another question is, say that we hear back from Natural Heritage on July 7th saying everything's okay, then our next meeting is on the 19th. Is it?
Yep, 19th.
Yeah, the 19th, when we would bring up the notice of intent that you filed.
Mm-hmm.
Say everything is okay with us and we approved it. How soon would you have your work done before the city could then do their work on top of it?
That depends on the contractor. When Natural Heritage comes back, I can get in touch with Andy, if that'd be all right.
Yeah.
Maybe we can have a meeting of the minds before. I'm just thinking outside the box, before the official meeting. We can't do that.
Well, I mean, you'd have to be meeting with me. You couldn't be with the commission because they wouldn't be able to discuss until the 19th. But
but
we could try to resolve some of the issues that would come up, you know, during the discussion
and
prior to that.
And then by the 19th, I've got a schedule.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's not projected that we're dragging our feet. We're being proactive.
Right, because I think,
Yeah, I mean, I would think at this point that we should definitely have everything resolved or the response should come in prior to that time.
Right, but we have 2 competing interests here. We have you, the homeowner, and we have those people that want the public access. And say you were going to delay for a year doing what you wanted,
no.
have an extra layer.
No.
We could tell the city, well, go ahead and put your core bags on.
No, it shouldn't take any more than a week later.
Right. Yeah, and that's what I because there is a lot of concern over this.
No,
have a schedule.
You know, let's. I know we've been very patient, but you know, even our patience.
Paul,
yeah.
We want this done too.
Oh yeah,
please.
Sure. Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah. So you know, more we can do to make this a smooth effort going in. So if the city can get you know that access in by getting the bodies, it would be great.
Now, Netco has been very user friendly. They've been very, very cooperative with schedules and talking. And I don't see why I can't call them. Just get a tentative schedule.
Yeah, I would
let us know so we're aware.
If we get something from Natural Heritage fairly soon, if we wanted to schedule a special meeting, why don't we give them enough notice before the 19th to approve it, so we get a week, 10 days head start on this, just to keep everybody else happy.
Because we've been vague about this too. I mean, it's our city. Summertime.
Yeah.
You know, we feel just as good about opening access to the beach as we feel bad about houses being threatened in winter. So,
well, on that note, we seem to forget we're the most inconvenienced out of this scenario. We're the ones that have to walk all the way around the block to get to the beach.
Yeah, but you know, I think you know, we're not trying to point any fingers or say we have any favorites or anything. You know, I think we're just trying to convey to you that we're willing to work with you to get this done.
Yep.
Good.
What is the advance notice we need for an open meeting?
Well, you know, as Frank was going to say in response to your comment a second ago, I'm not sure. To me, the most appropriate thing to do at this point is to continue on with the 19th date, only because that's the date that was offered as a condition for the last meeting. So it would be fair notice to, you know, to the interested party that was the date. So, for instance, if we tried to do something sooner, somebody who was expecting the 19th as a date wouldn't know about it. So I would say technically you should stick with the 19th date or after.
What if we put another notice in the paper saying that?
Then you can do that, but it's a cost of advertising. So.
Oh, yeah, we have to be advertising.
Right.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if the applicant wants to pay for that, then I have no objection to that. It's just that it would have to be noticed again. So, I'm waiting for the state to say you can advertise meetings on your website and city website, you know, just to cut costs, but they're not paying it. So I think it'd be easier for people to figure out what's going on in the meetings that way.
Yeah, it would come right up on your iPhone.
Yeah, you can get an automatic notice about any hearings. It's just not there yet. So.
Pertaining to the other interested parties, if we did have a preliminary meeting the 19th, we could have schedules made, commitments done. So all we did is we've got this letter, it's approved, and we just walk through everything, opposed to waiting another week or Netco to schedule something.
Right.
Okay.
No, yeah, definitely. I mean, try to line up as much information and details about the plan as possible so that it can go right ahead without it, you know. But that's...
I mean, there is the, you know, the 10-day appeal period from our decision, but what knows what to do in place.
I prefer to work out as many issues as possible prior to the hearings. So that the commission is not wasting its time and you're not wasting your time afterwards.
Right.
That's a technicality. That 10-day appeal period, that's every time.
Okay.
Don't.
Yeah.
No, it's not special for you.
Nervous.
I'm already get strung up in the name.
Is
that 10 calendar days or 10 working days?
Oh, shh.
I think it's business.
Okay. It's 2 weeks.
Look, just for a summary, we want this path open as much, if not more, than everybody you've been hearing from. We just want it done right. We just don't want the work that we've paid a phenomenal amount of money compromised. That's all. We just want to make sure it's done right.
And we're okay with that.
Yeah, we're
And the green heads will be gone when it gets done. Hopefully the time will be just so.
Only Netco's people have to deal with greenheads.
They dealt with that winter condition. Those guys were out there in some pretty bad conditions.
So we're continuing to the 19th?
Yeah.
And.
Yeah, I mean, it already is. This is more.
Did we already do it?
Yeah,
oh, we did. Okay, we did. Okay, I didn't know that part.
Catch up.
Can you call National Heritage, Andy?
Yeah, I'll call them tomorrow. I they may not have a letter by tomorrow, and I would hope if it's, you know, again, if we're talking about the 30 days, that they might have something coming out at the end of this week. So, see.
But if, yeah, but if they have it on their desk ready to go out, like,
yeah,
I wonder if they
could
call them because, you know, the 4th next week.
Call them every day if you need to, like Thursday and Friday. I mean, absolutely. I would just keep hammering them with messages if it's a message situation.
I love it.
Is there anything I can do to help out?
Just same phone call, I guess, maybe if we both
keep.
Say again.
If we're both calling about the same thing, you know, maybe we'll
Could you email if you have a particular contact point?
Okay.
There's a contact point on their on their letter. I don't know if that's a good contact point.
Okay.
So if you
I'll email you a couple of names. We can both try to make sense of it.
Yeah, and I don't know if you can go as far as explaining to them that we have an organized approach to and safe approach to beach access for the summer. I don't know if they want to hear any of that, but I don't know how conversations with Natural Heritage go. I don't think I've ever engaged them in conversation.
I'm sorry, I missed the beginning part.
Would you be telling them that time is of the essence because of beach access? Would you go into that kind of detail with
It won't be relevant so much for them, but I'll certainly mention that as background for them, but ultimately it's going to come down to the fact that they probably have a draft of the letter, you know, that's being looked at right now, They probably know generally where they're going to end up, but they haven't written it out yet formally, or they have written it out, but it's still waiting for a signature, is typically how it goes.
Yeah, and I think having you call for the city saying the city has these other interests on top of this and just wants a resolution.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, typically someone's written this out, but then there's a higher up who, you know, has to sign off on the, you know, because this one's a little tricky because it's an area where it's, there's not as much precedent, you know, it's a new, it's a different kind of thing, so probably it's a little more, you know.
And you can get our answer on the, building that walkover.
Yes, at the same time. Yeah.
Lover area.
Exactly.
Andy, just for a side note, Netco does an awful lot of that type of building.
Yep.
And they have an awful lot of experience in that.
Yeah. We'll talk to them too. In the least, if they're not interested in doing the walkway, at least the fencing and the signage and so forth.
He does
plantings.
A lot of walkways.
I mean, Sumco did a good job on the plantings. You know, some of them on the water side didn't survive, but they did a good job on the plantings and even, you know, put everything where it was supposed to be. So, you know, we'll talk to them too. Because there are some dune grasses that we've done as part of that project. It's not just the walkway, but the dune grasses and fencing. So. But I'll talk to Netco as well.
If you need a telephone number, I have a cell phone.
Yeah, I've got a couple of folks over there.
Thanks.
All right.
The one other thing that I wanted to talk about was the mowing of Cooper North Pasture. Right now, I think it's
July 15th.
And probably to be better stewards of the land, considering that the few bobolinks that we have in the area are nesting there. From what I've heard, from what I've been told by the bird people, August 1st would be a safe time to have to allow it to be mowed. Jerry Myatt is managing it right now. At least the front part of the field. Matt Kazaki from Tender Crop Farm is mowing the back part. We have the option to basically tell Jerry he can't mow before August 1st. The the catch for Jerry is that as it goes on, especially if it's a dry period, the grass gets a lot less valuable, and it basically turns into straw. So we need to decide, and actually that's not the only thing. The other issue is he's dumping some sort of fertilizer on there. I don't think we ever got an answer. Mary Harbaugh asked Jordy what kind of fertilizer he's putting on there. We haven't gotten anything back from that either regarding that. And I'm of the feeling that we should basically make it August 1st for mowing. And if he wants to do it, he's free to do it. He has hundreds of acres on the other side there that he can that are his property.
I'm okay with that in the future, but for this year, he did what he did out there to those fields with the understanding that it would be July 15th. So mm-hmm. whatever money he spent on lime and fertilizing, this would be expectation mm-hmm. of cutting July 15th or afterwards, if it was dry enough. Going forward, we can tell him, no, you can't cut till August 1st, and he may decide, I don't want any part of it.
Okay.
And that's his decision to make, but I think it's unfair for this year to tell him, no, you can't cut till August 1st, when he went and spent money on
okay.
lime and fertilizer, with the expectation that he'd get a certain quality.
Alexander Hamilton would be proud of you.
Yeah, I can.
I mean, if the bird watchers really had their way, we wouldn't cut it at all until September.
Right.
Which may be what we end up doing. If
I'm fine with going with that. I wanted to see how you felt about it.
Do you want some sort of a letter, some form, more formal dealing with the fertilizer?
I definitely I want to know what he's putting on there.
But if we're not getting a response, do you want us to put that in a letter that restates the issue being raised, so that we get a response and we don't have to put on record that we're concerned about?
That's fine. I don't know how he's going to react when we say that we don't want to cut until August 1st, and that's period. The agreement, the use agreement, gives us the option to dictate at what point it can be cut. We can change it whenever we want to. Which he may just walk away from it and think it's not worth his while, which is up to him. In that case, I think we have enough money in the coffers to just go and have it mowed every year. If Makazaki won't do it for us, since he's getting the use of the wet meadows for nothing. He may just go and do that, or we can give him gas money or whatever. So, I don't know if Jordy's talked to him or not.
I'll ask him tomorrow. If he hasn't gotten a response, or if he doesn't get one later this week, we can submit a letter just to really put a little pressure on, get some sort of response on that. So mm-hmm. At least what's going on. Then you can decide after that what you want to do.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we could send him a letter notifying him next year.
Yes.
The cutting date would be August 1st, and then let him decide whether he wants any part of it or not.
Mm-hmm.
As long as he can put his intent to that.
I'd send that letter in a form rather than get everybody in a tizzy right now.
Okay. We can do that. So remember to send him that letter in the fall.
Does the commission send that, or the land stewardship committee?
The commission. The land stewardship committee is just the front group for us.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll do that. And for those of you who don't know, the guy who's waited through the whole meeting is James O'Brien, our newly appointed.
Our mystery guest.
Oh,
commissioner.
You guys got a mystery lot?
No, mystery solved.
So, welcome to the fun.
You.
Almost here. Was the first reading last night, I think. And Doug was on the, he's being reappointed too. As a reappointed, yeah, reappointed. So.
Almost welcome.
Was that as fun as you wanted it to be?
I suppose.
It only gets better. So. All right.
Obviously, the old beach issue was taken on a life of its own, you know, when actually Allison called me yesterday before I went before the council last night. So, much of him about it was one of the expressions of my viewpoints of what was going on in my mind. I had a thought of that, you know, if this goes to fruition, and I actually never know it, then obligated to support the bylaws, even though it doesn't mean I necessarily have to believe in all the bylaws, but unless I have a specific duty to support them. So, because obviously, and I know you folks here, by your comments that you're in the audience, kind of feel the same way. I mean, very sympathetic to their individual needs and frustrations of the whole process, but still have your duty to perform.
Mm-hmm. Well, we did close the hearing, did we not?
Yes.
So,
do you mind if you're not thinking about adjourning, can I just do two other?
Well, we have more conditions.
We've got order conditions we're going to go over.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's right, you have the other one.
We have another Pro-Lane discussion.
You have a Pro-Lane. Oh,
we
yeah,
can do
that's,
that.
Right.
That's fine if you want to. I don't know if this one.
Yeah, well, why don't you guys do your Pro-Lane?
Well, I haven't received a plan yet.
I'm recusing myself.
So we
don't have a quorum.
You don't, so don't make it.
Well,
we don't have to decide anything.
No, you don't have to decide anything. It's just an update, really. Maybe if someone just wants to confirm my recollection, the commission hadn't actually approved a plan for the wetlands replication restoration. It was really just approving the location of the work, is my understanding.
I believe that to be.
So I expressed that to our council. Council was confused and they had thought that it was an approval of the work that it was to be done. I said, no, my understanding from our records is that it's an approval of the location only, that to be the specific plan to be approved at a later date once submitted by the applicant and presumably Mary Rimmer at the time. Just wanted to confirm that that's your recollection as well.
Yes.
I'll continue with council to make sure. Again, we're, you know, June 30th was the date called out in the settlement, so obviously it's going a bit beyond that, but we're relying on council to make sure that things can fall through on. The license is routed, agreed to by both sides for the use of, again, this goes back to the whole issue with the council, you know, council and mayor authorizing, and finally, without the council's approval, the mayor was able to, you know, issue the licenses. Finally, their council agreed on the language of that with some restrictions, making sure that we had some checks and balances. I'm still waiting for our council to give me a copy of that as signed by all parties. Then it's just making sure we get the plan into you for detailing the work that'll be done. So I'll let you know. Hopefully that'll be on one of our next agendas, obviously. The other thing is entirely unrelated, just with the Clover update. We're going to try to see in the office if we can just maybe do a press release, something like that, and try to get some volunteers just to do some monitoring whenever people are available. But, you know, the folks at National Heritage have asked for some assistance with getting people out there, volunteers, whatever, because lifeguards can't put their full attention on it because they're obviously supposed to be facing the water. So they really can't be doing a whole lot of monitoring of that, even though it's desirable since they're out there. And I think the real issue comes down to dogs. Dogs off leash. That's the real threat, I think, out there. You know, aside from vehicles going up and down, I think the real threat is dogs because, you know, some people walk their dogs out there without leashes. You know, the dogs are interested. They're going to chase something. So we'll see if we get some volunteers out there. But it's not going to be continuous coverage. It's going to be whatever we can get. So
maybe Tim Tracy would be interested.
He did actually say he was interested.
Oh, really? Because he does need something for Natural Heritage.
maybe he could win some bonus points with them for that. I don't know. But we'll see what we can get for at least some volunteers to keep an eye out there periodically.
Just to go back to Crow Lane, when I was out there, anyway, it looked like they're blasting.
They are, yes.
I haven't seen anything in the paper about any smell, odors or anything.
So yeah, it's not been as bad as it was before. At any point there could be issues again. But there haven't been the complaints that were brought up previously about that. There have been periodically some smells, but apparently not nearly strong enough to warrant the kind of complaints we had last time. So hopefully that'll continue that way, but you don't know.
Now, is there any plan yet for
the pile?
Restoring the area to what it was before they came out there and destroyed it along Crow Lane itself?
Along Crow Lane.
Yeah.
That's not
our jurisdiction, but it's a sticking point.
Yeah, that will be dealt with essentially from the mayor's office, as part of that, closing out issues out with the city. I'll be involved in that discussion to some degree, especially as we get into the replication work and the culvert work. It'll be, how are you backing out of the site, essentially, and cleaning up all that stuff, too. But it has not yet been addressed, mainly because they're still dealing with the issues of the blasting, the culvert, and the wells replication, which we haven't had a plan for yet. And they're still, of course, doing the final capping. It's not finalized yet either, so and the cover's there, but the capping is at this point.
What was the blasting for again?
They have to dig down a little further for the drainage the basin area.
The leaching, the detention for the runoff.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's right there by the entrance.
Yep.
Yeah, the right side.
Mm-hmm. How much more blasting do they have? I forgot.
They've done most of it already, really.
Yeah.
They halted a bit. They were moving some material. I think they're mainly done. It's just a little bit more work. It's been a couple of days. I think it was the end of last week since I was last out there, but I'll have to check again.
So, we have the order conditions for 6 Main Lane. Do we have any special conditions for that?
I think we'll want an as-built.
Especially since there seem to be periodic permits for this property, it might be good to keep track of which is which, as far as progress.
They were going to be doing something special with this one.
They were using self-contained, as they told us.
You want us to put something in there specifying that that's what they told us? Just as a...
It should be in there.
Right
up there.
Yeah, and just say something that if any byproducts come out of the system, that they're to be kept away from the resource area.
Environmentally friendly and self-contained with an inner filtration system, thus preventing any potential runoff. That's going to be pool description matters.
I mean, it probably wouldn't hurt to have a special condition just affirming that.
Mm-hmm.
And do we want a condition that, they start excavating and they happened upon a root to that tree where they didn't expect it, that they...
Must return to the commission?
Excuse me?
That must return to the commission?
Yeah. Okay. Stop.
Just curious how you know what tree that root is coming from.
It's up to them, isn't it?
Do you, on that issue regarding the water quality, do you want to have a condition in there about that, or just leave it at the documentation you provided? I'm not sure. specifically says that no water will be discharged, but it does sort of suggest that
it's
all self-contained.
No discharge from the pool will go into the wetlands.
Yeah. Or the river.
No.
Any resource area.
Any resource area. All in favor? Aye.
Do we have things to sign?
No, but can I give you copies of the notice of intent for the next meeting, just so you can take it with you?
Mm-hmm.
And,
no, please spend $4 each and mail that to us.
We need to sign the one that we just voted on, right?
We can sign at the next meeting.
Yeah, we're meeting in...
Yeah,
oh, yeah.